Hello, Vikings season ticket owners, and welcome to this live Vikings fan forum event. I'm Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network, and I will be your moderator today. We'd like to thank you for your passion and support of the Minnesota Vikings. We believe we have the best fans in the NFL, and those of you on this call are a big reason for that. This fan forum event is exclusive only to season ticket owners, sponsors, and suite owners. Right now, the Vikings are trying to come up with a plan to go into another team's building to win a big game. The Vikings play in St. Louis on Sunday after a big win over the Chicago Bears last weekend. But our concern today on this call is our own building, specifically a new stadium in which the Vikings will play. Now, there are a few guests who are going to join us on this call to provide some new information and give us an update on the status of the new stadium. But first, there's important information for you to know. At any time during this call, press star 3 on your dial pad, and you'll be able to ask a live question. You'll be transferred to our screeners. They'll take your question and put you into the queue, where you'll be put on hold momentarily, and eventually you may be asked to ask your question live. Again, that's star 3 on your dial pad to start this process. All right, here's what's going to happen. Joining us today on the call are Vikings Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development, Lester Bagley, Vice President of Sales and Marketing and Chief Marketing Officer, Steve LaCroix, and HKS Principal, Brian Truby. We'll hear directly from Brian, who will walk us through some of HKS's history, especially as it relates to the NFL. He's also going to give us a glimpse at the design process, where it stands right now, and what the future might hold. Then we'll open it up to all of you guys for questions and comments. We encourage not just questions from you, but any comments, concerns, or recommendations, ideas that you might have. Before we get to that, I want to start with Lester Bagley just to get a general update on where we are in the stadium design and construction process. Lester, how are you?
Hey, Wobby, thank you. Appreciate it, and I appreciate the chance to be on with our fans and season ticket owners. Appreciate the introduction. Great things happening at the Vikings. It's very exciting, a lot of positive energy, good work going on the football field. Very excited about where we are as a team. But off the field on the stadium front, we're making some good progress. We're working very well, very collaboratively with the stadium authority to build this world-class facility, this public-private partnership that will be an icon in our community. And so we're very excited about that. In terms of the timing and the status, we have had a number of design meetings, just preliminary design meetings, and we'll hear a little bit from Brian Truby about where those discussions are headed. But we've begun with the design discussions. The Stadium Authority has just released the RFP, the request for proposals for construction managers, and you know, a very important decision was to who's going to design the stadium with HKS, and now the next major decision that we have to make is who's going to build the stadium. So in this process, now the construction manager RFP is out. Replies will be coming in and responses, and we'll start to do interviews and select the builder of the stadium by the end of January. Again, very important, obviously, who's going to build the stadium, but also important in the design process because the construction manager will help cost things out. And you'll hear from Mr. Truby here about the importance of working collaboratively with the builder to make sure that we make the best decisions for our state and our facility. So that's kind of where we are. General timeline is get the construction manager on board by the end of January. By the spring, mid-late spring, we should hope to see some images and some vision of what the new home for Viking football will look like. And going into the summer, dig into further design work. And right now, the timeline looks like the fourth quarter of 2013. We will break ground, so probably in September, October time frame, we'll start construction on the backside of the dome and do some work while we're playing at Mall of America Field, and so we'll play that season, 2013, and then by that time, by the middle of that season, we should have an answer on how long we'll have to play at TCF Bank Stadium. It's one or two seasons, seemingly looks like two, to be safe, but it looks like 2014, 2015 at TCF Bank Stadium, and then bringing us back to where we are on track to build and to open the new Viking Stadium in August of 2016. So that's a quick update, Wobby, on timeline and where we stand as a design and team, as well as the Stadium Authority and the Vikings working together on this.
Lester, you talked about hiring a construction manager and how big of a decision that is. We also know that selecting the architect was a major decision, and HKS sports fans may recognize that name because it's a world-renowned name that's built a lot of stadiums. But what did you and the rest of the Vikings brass like about HKS that led to you selecting them?
Well, Wobby, we couldn't be happier with HKS and their world-class firm. They said up front that it is one of the most important decisions that we've made, also a difficult decision because we had five stadium architects, the best in the world, come forward and say we would like to design the new Viking Stadium. So we had a number of interviews and discussions with these candidates, but it was head and shoulders the clear best fit, and the most exciting, most creative firm was HKS Inc. And as you know, Brian will talk a little bit about their history, but they're in Dallas. They're based in Dallas. They've done two stadiums in the NFL. They've done more worldwide, but in terms of NFL, they've done Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis, which is a great facility, and they've done Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. Two of the best venues in the NFL. They're also two of the best multi-purpose stadiums that in the world, and so this is going to be a public-private partnership. It'll obviously have to work for the Vikings, our fans, and we're very focused on that mission, but it also has to work for the public and other events similar to what have occurred at the Metrodome. But so very excited about HKS, very creative firm, and at this point, back to you, Wobby, and look forward to hearing from Mr. Truby and company.
Okay, I'm going to bring in Steve LaCroix, Vikings Vice President of Sales and Marketing and Chief Marketing Officer, in a second. I have a question for him, but I want to remind callers, any of you that have a question or a comment that you want to submit to us, remember to press *3 on your dial pad. You'll be transferred to one of our screeners, and they'll direct you from there. So remember to dial *3 if you want to ask a question or leave a comment. Steve, we only have one shot to get this thing right, so I know an extensive amount of research goes into this process, and part of that includes studying the market and the fans. The team recently distributed a survey to season ticket owners, Steve. Many people on this call likely filled out that survey. Can you talk about that process a little bit and how much more of that research is going to occur going forward?
Absolutely. First off, happy holidays to all those fans and sponsors and season ticket owners on the call. So we're glad that you're participating today. Really, this is the first step of a multi-step process. It's the equivalent of really doing our homework. As you mentioned, it's, you know, once a generation or once every 30 years that you go through these kind of projects. So we're really just starting the process of trying to communicate very openly with our fan base, being proactive, gaining that insight as we move forward in the planning process, and really just kind of gauging the interest of what the market interests are, what types of seating, what types of special fan amenities are of interest. And again, it's the first step of many steps along the road as we build towards the fall of 2016.
Certainly an area of focus in the survey and in the media has been the stadium builders licenses, SBLs. Given that we are speaking directly to some of our season ticket owners, Steve, where are we in terms of the SBL discussion?
Again, it's at the very infant stages of working hand-in-hand with the Stadium Authority, kind of vetting that whole process. You know, this was discussed throughout the legislative process as far as once we were approved to move forward with the project, but really just trying to analyze the viability of stadium builder licenses, we refer to them as SBLs, within the Upper Midwest marketplace, and really no decision has been made, and, you know, if and when a program is established, it'll be reflective of our marketplace and not necessarily what other teams have done in the National Football League.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Let's get right into what our season ticket owners want to hear, the meat and potatoes of the call today, and we'll hear directly from Brian Truby. Remember, Brian has a few slides that he's going to walk through prior to opening this up for questions or comments, and you can press *3 if you want to be put in the queue to ask a question or give a comment later. You should all have a link to follow along as Brian discusses HKS's background and where we are in the stadium process. Brian, thank you for taking time here today to join us on the call. If you wouldn't mind, can you please give us a little bit of your background first and then get right into your presentation, and the rest of us will follow along.
Thank you, Wabi. I appreciate that. And we're very excited to be here today also. We enjoy talking with season ticket holders, and as you can imagine, what we're hoping that we show you today really captures the imagination of current season ticket holders and future generations of Vikings fans, and creates an important physical icon for this incredible franchise and for the community here in Minneapolis. What I'm going to walk you through, hopefully, is the 27-slide deck that many of you have downloaded already that talks a little bit about our practice and why we have really reshaped the NFL in a lot of ways, and hope that this project becomes our next and most phenomenal project for an NFL team. I'll walk you through these slides relatively quickly, and then we'll answer questions about these also. The second slide really shows you the reach of our global practice. We're a design firm that's involved in projects all around the world and many sports projects all around the world. So when we design a multi-purpose stadium, NFL stadium in Minneapolis, it's actually informed quite a bit, and we learn from doing a cricket stadium, for instance, in India, and doing a World Cup and Olympic venue in Rio de Janeiro. Part of what designing a multi-purpose facility around is designing it for other sports events also, and those things becoming incredibly important to us as sport itself becomes more global in nature. This slide number 3 really shows you a little bit of our market sectors. We've done quite a bit of work in Minneapolis, from the American Express facilities to U.S. Bank to a number of healthcare facilities around, and our practice is involved in influencing communities in a number of different building types, from hospitality, airports, commercial, corporate, and retail facilities, in addition to sports. This really helps us when we're planning our sports facilities to make them more carefully and effectively embedded in, especially in urban environments, which we're dealing with here in Minneapolis. Slide 4 shows you a little bit of a focus on our sustainability efforts. We are very focused on making energy-efficient buildings, and we're currently the only firm that's designed a LEED Platinum sports facility. It was for a university in North Texas, and really has informed a lot of what we do from an energy standpoint in our large buildings also. We have quite a bit of ballpark experience. Slide number 5 shows you just a few of our premier venues, from U.S. Cellular, Rangers, Miller Park, and multi-year renovations to Dodger Stadium. We've done quite a bit of arena projects all over the country, both professional and collegiate facilities. This has taught us a lot about entertainment and how to infuse entertainment environments into our facilities, and that's one of the key event types that we're designing the stadium here in Minneapolis for. As I mentioned earlier, work around the world. You can see Stadio Maracanã, which is being built for the World Cup and the Olympics in Rio and Liverpool. We do quite a few stadium projects for colleges and universities, so the diversity of our experience really helps us a great deal. Slide number 8 begins to focus on our NFL work, and one of the things that I'd like for you to pay attention to is the very unique difference of our facilities. The Cowboys Stadium, which we opened in 2010, was for a franchise that saw themselves as an international brand. And so through our brand practice, we developed a look for this facility that was very modern and futuristic, as most international brands project themselves. We also developed a facility here, if you switch to slide number 9, that's the most technology-infused facility currently in the NFL. And this was a lot about the entertainment experience. This facility and Lucas Oil are the two most used venues in terms of the multi-purpose aspects of them
in the country right now, and really are the first two venues designed for Super Bowl first and NFL and other events, regular NFL events and other multipurpose events second. And so that's one of the reasons these two venues have just had two very successful Super Bowls in them. Another great thing that we hope to bring to the Minneapolis and Minnesota community. Slide number 10 starts to focus on the multi-purpose aspects of the facilities that we've talked a lot about. These are major community facilities. They're the largest building built in most communities, as it will be here in Minneapolis, and making this a place for all Minnesotans. And some of the greatest events that are held nationally and internationally is foremost in our minds. And so what you see here that we've done at Cowboys is international FIFA soccer matches, motocross events, concerts, and as you can see, we design our facilities for, you know, 80 to 90,000 seat NBA All-Star, NHL All-Star game and winter games. So those are things that are very important to us in terms of making the venue used all year round. What you see in slide number 11 is the sponsorship platforms at Cowboys. We focus quite a bit on the fan experience. And when we create phenomenal fan experiences, sponsors want to be a part of that. So the entire community shows up at our facilities, not just the fans, but the entire corporate community too. And this makes for an extremely vibrant facility and a place to have a lot of different experiences during, before, and after the game. Switching to slide number 12, you can see Lucas Oil Stadium. Completely different physical expression, totally different type of architecture that is very focused on what Indianapolis feels like is its very unique architectural expression. So you're seeing a brick building, a very traditional, almost a field house-like building with a lot of exposed structure that looks a little bit more like it's from the last century than this, or early last century. You can see the interior of the facility is also completely different expression than Cowboys, with structure going through the opening to reinforce the kind of structural expression of the facility. And again, this facility really designed for even more events than Cowboys in many ways, simply because it was designed with convention use in mind as a annex to the convention center there in Indianapolis. Concourse spaces are very vibrant. These are huge fan experience areas, and helping the fans gain access to the Colts, Cowboys, and in the future, the Vikings team store while they're at the game is one of our primary focuses. It's one of the things that is the most interesting thing to visit in our facilities, because we make an event out of it. You can see in slide number 16 I've moved on to now, the entry plaza at the north end of Lucas Oil Stadium, which is where the naming rights sponsor, Lucas Oil, has a huge interactive area. And you can see immediately here how you walk straight into the stadium and you have a big panorama of the interior of the seating bowl itself. So let's focus for a few minutes on what we're thinking about for Minneapolis and the Vikings, which we call the People's Stadium. As you remember from Cowboys and Lucas Oil, two totally different looking buildings, two totally different brand expressions. One of the things that we study very carefully that's unique to our practice is really what drives the unique culture of the particular area that we're working in. And there's many things that we've studied in great detail that make Minneapolis and Minnesota very, very unique, from the climatic issues to things that are more architectural, like pattern, form, and then, of course, top left, you can see the Vikings brand itself, which is really one of the most unique brands in all of sport globally. So we're going to take you through a couple of things, switching to slide number 19, that really shows you a little bit about our process. And we do a lot of things that are very conventional that you think an architect probably does, like sketching and trying to get our initial ideas down in just sketch form as they occur to us, to very quickly moving now with all the technology that we have in our profession to what look like finished renderings, but are really just very conceptual images. And what you see here is one of the images that we're studying and building forms that we're studying for the project here. So you can immediately see how different and unique this is. But this is derived from some of the forms that you find in the north that come from the fact that we want to make sure we don't accumulate a lot of snow on any structure, especially a monumental structure. And so you see a steeply pitched roof, which is one of the things that will give our building some of its unique form and make it recognizable and beautiful nationally and internationally as the home to the Vikings and a facility that's only built in Minneapolis. You can see an interior image on slide number 21 that begins to show you conceptually what we hope to create from a vision standpoint from the inside of the facility, looking toward downtown Minneapolis through the large, clear opening looking west. One of the things that we're studying on this project is the use of a clear roof material so that we can understand the very unique quality that may come from that in terms of making fans feel like they're outdoor during the football game and other events that are held in the facility, but still able to enjoy themselves in a climate-controlled environment. So this is another image, slide 22, that begins to show you if you cut through the length of the building and take half of it away, what it may look like on the interior. We're also studying a number of different locations for a lot of the video technology that we put in the facility, and what you're seeing here is a center-hung video board that's a completely different shape than we've utilized before or has been utilized in any facility, and you can see the relationship between that and where a lot of the fans would be. You can also see how it's very easy to enter the building on the site and be about midway up the cross-section of the building itself. So half the seats are below the entry plaza and half the seats are above. It's one of the best ways to get people into the facility and create kind of a continuous fan experience all the way around on the main concourse. Another concept that we're looking at, and we're studying these concepts, as Lester mentioned earlier and when he was speaking about this, we're studying different concepts in terms of the roof structure because we want to understand what's the best value for this project in the community. And so the best way to do that on a monumental structure, because of the complexities that we deal with, is to study two or three different structural types. And what you're seeing here is a more ribbon-like structure, and you can see in a more conceptual rendering on slides 23 and 24, you can see kind of our form study, and slide 24 shows more of a conceptual view of that looking toward downtown Minneapolis with light coming out of the stadium structure. And slide 25 shows a section, similar section that we showed before on the prior scheme, looking through the length, cutting through the length of the building and taking half of it away. And you can see the very different and interesting character the roof structure takes on in this facility. Slide 26 shows the interior view looking toward downtown. One of the things this image shows, you're actually seated in the end zone here, which is one of the most interesting places to sit in the facility in any of the schemes we're looking at right now, because it shows views of downtown, and that's one of the great kind of democratic things we're doing with the facility itself, is making the views from all the seats very unique and different. But what this shows is an opening end wall. That's one of the elements that we're considering and evaluating right now during the design process, is how to open up the end zone wall that faces toward downtown to have more of an open air facility for parts of the game. And I hope everybody's been able to look through that. We're very interested in feedback that we can get from the season ticket holders, and so I think what we're planning on doing at this point is opening up for questions. Is that right, Wobby?
Yeah, that's right, Brian. And the first question we're going to direct toward you, and it's going to come from Matthew. He has a question about tailgating.
Hello, Matthew,
Matthew, are you there? Repeat your question for Brian, please.
I just want to say thank you for taking the time today. And my question is, what is going to be done to accommodate tailgaters in the new stadium?
Good question. Great question. One of the things that we're doing as a part of our design work is looking at the entire district that we're putting the stadium in downtown. And one of the things that we're focused on during that study is how to transform that entire district of downtown up against the core, you know, where the vertical buildings are, but how to influence that area so that it can transform itself into a more comprehensive tailgating environment over a larger area during game days and special events, and then transform back to, you know, the very functional, getting traffic in and out of the downtown core during the business day. And so the best way to answer your question right now is that that's a big focus area of ours, and we're all very confident that we're going to create a number of different types of tailgating environments compared to what you have right now, and that they're going to be distributed around the entire district of downtown around the stadium itself.
Hey, Matt, this is Lester Bagley. I just wanted to follow up Brian's point real quick about tailgating. You know, first and foremost, as we said up front, the game day experience, the fan experience is paramount to our mission to make sure the stadium works for the Vikings and our fans. We're in conversations right now with the City of Minneapolis, with the implementation committee that's part of this process, to talk about enhanced and expanded tailgating opportunities. So it's a very important issue to us, and more to come on that, but I just wanted to, besides the design points that Brian made, I just wanted to let you know that we're committed to a tremendous game day experience, because we know that's so important to the NFL fans and to Viking fans, and we're focused on making sure that we have a great tailgating experience going forward.
Okay, we're going to bring in Steve LaCroix, Vikings Vice President of Sales and Marketing and Chief Marketing Officer, for the next question. It comes from Troy. Troy, are you there?
I am here.
All right, what's your question?
Well, my question is very simple. When will SBL prices be announced, and why the recent survey was Lucas Oil Stadium not listed as one of the price comparisons with the rest of the group that was there? Thanks.
Thanks, Troy. Glad to answer that. You know, again, we don't have the specific timing down. You know, fall of 2016 on one hand is a long way off. On the other hand, it'll be here before we know it. So most likely, if we do launch any type of program, it would be more like the spring of 2014, so still quite a ways off. And again, part of the process building up to, we want to make sure that we properly research the marketplace and whatnot. In relation to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, that was virtually a 100% publicly funded facility, so there were no stadium builder license or any type of seat license programs, which much different than other facilities, being Dallas, the new stadium in Santa Clara for the 49ers, and so forth. So, Lester, if you want to further enhance that insight, feel free to jump in here.
Well, all I would say is on the SBL program, it was part of the legislation, and we are taking a hard look at it. We have to do the market research, and if we move forward on a program, it obviously has to fit the market. And we also have a partnership, a collaboration with the Stadium Authority, and any program would have to be presented to the authority for their consideration. So they'll be, if we head in that direction, more concretely, we will. There'll be a public discussion about it. But as Steve said, it is down the road a bit. We're in the early stages of doing research, and it's not just on SBLs. The research that we're doing, as Steve noted up front, is we have to, you know, size the building. We have to make sure that we have the right number of suites, club seats, the right location. Do people want to sit in a bunker suite? Do they want to sit on a in an end zone club? We have all those questions we have to sort out, including the SBL questions. So I think stay tuned on it, and we appreciate the question, and we'll be informative and transparent and as upfront as we can be as we move through the process, but a long way to go, as Steve mentioned.
Okay, our next question is going to come from Mark, and I think Brian is going to be the best to answer this one. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking the question. Just had a question on those images. They look fantastic, but I wanted to ask about the big video screen. I've never been to the stadium in Dallas, but I know people who have, and they said they love the stadium, but that they think that the video screen there is a bit of a distraction just because of how big it is. And we're just wondering the thoughts about that video screen if it's in the stadium here.
Well, you know, it's interesting because anytime you do anything different, you do get a lot of critical feedback. A huge chunk of it is positive, as it has been with Cowboys, but you do get some negative criticism on things. The biggest part of it is to say that it's really changed the way the game day experience is in a more positive way. But we're like you would imagine we would be. We want to do something different and better the next time we do it, and learn from all the critical comments that we get so that we can do something better next time. And so as you saw from the images that we walked through, we're looking at the center hung location, but we're also looking at a number of other locations in the facility for the video boards. And, you know, there's every likelihood that we could end up doing video boards around the perimeter, doing much larger linear boards, or doing some combination of all of those. But I think you can see from Lucas Oil and from Cowboys, what we're really interested in doing is something completely different for a set of reasons that's unique to our clients. And the ownership here with the Vikings is very interested in supporting that and looking at anything that we can do from a creative standpoint to make the building a really one-off technology experience. And so the best way to answer your question is really like that, to say that we're really in consideration of everything right now.
Remember, *3, folks, is the number to dial if you have a question and you want to ask it to one of our guests on the call today. Let's go to our next question. It comes from Ben.
Yes. Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my question. My question is about the conceptual art that's been out there, and I know you talked about it, the two conceptual designs today. My question is, are you guys leaning towards one of those, or are those just very early conceptual arts, and you guys are just going to be pick one and then really change it?
Actually, we're still studying options right now, and what we're trying to do is literally what I mentioned earlier, is we're trying to figure out what's the best value in terms of the monumental structure here. That's one of the big cost items. And so as architects, it's really our job to, before we lock into anything, find our way to the best value for the monumental superstructure. We think we can make anything we come up with from a structural standpoint, we think we can make it a beautiful brand expression around the Vikings in Minneapolis. But arriving at the right structure is really the first task. And so we're going to continue to study a number of options until we feel like we've gotten to the right combination.
All right, we're going to keep Lester from getting bored here and send a question his way. Mike, you have a question.
Yeah, I had a chance to attend the one game that was played at TCF Stadium here about 2 years ago, and I recall the issues surrounding having more season tickets than that stadium even held for capacity, and I'm just wondering what the current thinking is for those transition years.
Well, thanks, Mike, and I'm not bored, but Wobby, this is exciting to get a chance to talk to our fans and also give a status report. But you know, the project is complicated in a lot of ways, but including the fact that we have to play one, potentially two, full seasons at TCF Bank Stadium. The good news is the University of Minnesota has been very helpful, very collaborative to work with us and host us in those season or two. Once the construction manager is on board, we'll start to dig into that timeline a little bit more. But before probably halfway through 2013, we should know if it's one season or two. But we've worked hard on this project with the university as well as internally, trying to understand what it's going to take to make that great college stadium a workable NFL stadium, because right now it's not an NFL stadium. And the issues that we've had to contend with are, as you noted, one is capacity, how many seats There's a shortage of suites. There's in terms of, you know, an NFL facility and what we would like to see, but it is a workable solution for the interim. But we're gonna probably add. We will be adding some seats in the open end zone and the west end zone, some temporary seating. 3,000 to 4,000 in that range. That gives that brings the seating up to 53,000. At last count, we were right around, at least my last count on this, around 50,000 season ticket owners. So we're close to that. So. There's definitely capacity issues we're going to have to contend with. The other issues are weatherization. You know, that building, while it's a great college stadium, it's basically built like your hunting cabin to shut down for the winter. They winterize it and shut it down, as we saw a couple of years ago after the roof collapse. So the weatherization, you know, taking that field out, putting heating coils on, and putting a new field in, making the field workable later in the season, like the weather we have right now in Minnesota. So we got some weatherization issues, and then the third issue, just concessions, just making sure that we have an efficient way to get products and services to our fans. Our crowd may be a little bit different and a little bit different taste, but we also have going to have a fuller stadium, more fans, and we want to make sure that the concessions pieces. So those are the things that we've looked at, as well as the important issue of working with the university, their neighborhoods, the city, to make sure that we want to be good neighbors, good partners, and good tenants for the one or two seasons that we play there.
We're getting a lot of questions about retractable roofs and whether that's still an option or not. So, Brian, Mike is going to ask you a question about that, but feel free to expand after you answer the question and talk about retractable features in general. Mike, what's your question?
That was pretty much my question. Has there been a decision made yet on whether it will be a retractable roof, or is that still yet to be determined?
Thanks for the question, Mike. Great one. That decision has not been made. We're studying a number of different retractability options within each of the superstructure schemes that we're looking at. And as you can imagine, each scheme kind of has a different look for the retractable components. And what we're really evaluating is the difference or the combination of a number of different things: retractability, a clear roof material that gives an open air feel. We're looking at either or, as I mentioned, a combination of the retractability and the clear roof material. And I think you saw from a couple of the images we showed that we're also looking at a movable wall component, looking towards downtown. So all those things are still in play, and we're really in this study period where we're evaluating what's the best value for the project in terms of the combination of those things.
If I could, Mike and Wabi, on just a little follow-up, again, Lester here, regarding retractability. And as you know, it is something that's important to our fans. We hear it a lot, and we hear it loud and clear. And we think it would be crucial to the game day experience, and it's something that we would really like to see. I mentioned earlier the budget. We're at $975 million, and so we're going to have to fit a retractable feature in that budget. You know, the good news with HKS being their experience, they've designed a stadium in two stadiums with retractable roofs, but they also have a retractable window in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium that opens to the skyline of Indy, and we're looking at the same option potentially here. HKS has designed operable walls at Cowboys Stadium to open up onto the plaza. That's something that we think would be a great feature, and again enhance that game day experience. So we're very interested in it. Our ownership is very focused on it, trying to deliver it, but it is going to come down to costing, and once we get the construction manager on board at the end of January, one of the early decisions we're going to have to make is on a retractable feature. But that's kind of the latest on retractable. So no major developments yet, although we're still working hard, as Brian said, analyzing the option and doing the best we can to deliver a great game day experience.
Next question is going to come from Tony.
Yeah, I was wondering, with a retractable dome or a permanent dome, is it possible to have natural grass in there? I wasn't a 4-H guy, but I can you grow grass inside? I know Arizona Cardinals have natural grass and they're indoors.
You can, Tony. Good question. The struggle with natural turf in this climate is getting the right ventilation and the right sun to it. And the other real challenge that we have with the multipurpose facility is that it makes it difficult if we don't retract it out of the stadium itself to get a hard surface for all the other events. And that's what happens in Phoenix, is that field actually moves outside the stadium to provide an appropriate, you know, hard surface for all the other events. And that's just something that we've moved away from here because, honestly, a lot of the NFL has moved towards the synthetic turf systems, and a lot of the teams feel like, I think, correctly, that it's a superior, you know, surface for play. And Lester may want to weigh in on that a little bit.
Yeah, Brian, just that I think we have moved away from the grass. We had a groundskeeper, a famous groundskeeper, George Toma, did Kansas City Royals, beautiful, you know, turf, and he did the groundskeeping outside of the Winter Park for our practice fields, and he used to say, "Give me 3 days and I can grow grass in your pocket." But I don't know that we're going to have George Toma on this. But I think it's a decision we've had to make that we're going to move away from a grass surface and go to a field turf. Our players like it as well. It's durable. For the multi-purpose stadium, the multitude of events that are going to occur there. It's probably the most durable, most flexible product is a version of the field turf. So that is where we're headed on that.
All right, let's welcome Jane in to ask a question. Hi, Jane.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. My husband has had tickets for over 50 years. We're finding those steps to be a little challenging nowadays. And it seems to me that in the stadiums I've been in, the handicapped seating or the more accessible seats are sometimes not prime. What is the expectation for our seating for those of us who are getting older and maybe not be able to handle the stairs?
Jane, that's a great question, and that's actually a huge responsibility area for architects, especially in this building type. We spend a significant amount of our time accommodating a multitude of different types of disabilities in our facilities, not just mobility, but also hearing and other types of disabilities, and we do too. Accommodate a lot of fans that just simply can't get around as well as they once did, as we provide a huge amount of our seats accessible straight from concourse areas, and they are accessible, those seating environments are accessible in all seating levels. So we'll have accommodation for accessibility at the 50-yard line, the 20-yard line, and then all the way up and down through the cross-section of the facility. So at each of the levels, I guess would be the best way to say it. But that's a big responsibility area for our profession, and it's also, a part of the code requirements that we deal with in these facilities especially. So we spend quite a bit of time. I hope that answers your question well, but we spend quite a bit of time making sure we can accommodate everybody in the facility and in all the different areas that we design.
Hi, Shay. You have a question.
I was wondering, with the crowd noise at the Metrodome being one of the huge advantages for the Vikings at home, what's being done with the new stadium to kind of keep crowd noise at that high decibel level?
I'll jump in here, guys. Shay, thanks for the question. Mall of America Field and the Metrodome is a tremendous home field advantage because of the noise, and we're going to do our best. We put a lot of responsibility on Brian and his team at HKS. So how can we create the most intimate and intimidating seating bowl in the National Football League as far as new stadiums go? And that's really, a combination of, bringing that those levels of seats closer to the field, creating, you feel like the seats are almost on top of the field, multiple levels that, almost create like an arena type of feel in a football context. And it's something we don't want to lose, and we want that home field to be to our advantage. We're we're 6-1 this season. Hopefully we end 7-1 at home for the season as we close up with Green Bay at the end of the year. And so it's really, really important to us to continue to maintain that. Brian, you want to maybe expand on that from an architect standpoint of what you're looking to do?
Yeah, Steve, really good points. You know, one of the things we do now in facilities is we create a number of different levels all the way up the section or the cross-section of the seating bowl. And what that does is create a number of different front row experiences. And that closes the seating bowl in on the field and makes for a heightened feeling of intimacy inside the seating bowl itself. But one of the great things it does that Steve was alluding to is that it creates a better acoustical environment and a more live environment for fan noise. And all the roof materials, which is the other major surface that you get inside one of these facilities, all the roof materials that we have to use nowadays aren't kind of just random like they were 20, 25, 30 years ago in terms of their acoustical qualities. They're actually designed to enhance the feeling of the live feeling of the game in the facility. And then they're also very good when we're having concerts in facilities. So we have a lot more tools at our disposal nowadays to make the inside of the building great for events, all types of events, including football.
Okay, we have a question. We're going to shoot it over to Lester, and it's from Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how you doing? I was curious, what is the seating and suite capacity goal for the new stadium?
Hi, Sharon. Lester here. Right now the target is 65,000 seats with the ability to expand to 73,000. So as you know, we have about 64,000 at Mall of America Field. We're going to expand that up just a little bit. There'll be a lot more seats on the sidelines and better seating options in all kinds of price ranges. That's part of why we're doing the study. The one note about 65,000 expandable to 73, you have to have 73,000 in order to host a Super Bowl. And we're determined to bring a Super Bowl to Minneapolis in 2018. We've already put our hat in the ring and applied formally to the NFL for Super Bowl in 2018, so we're working on that. And then in terms of suites, our goal right now is right around 115. I think the survey that Steve LaCroix talked about will inform us on what is appropriate number for the market. But right now 115, but with the ability to expand, I think also, and maybe Brian can address this, the size of the suites is also an important question. They did 8-person suites in Indianapolis, for example, which were really popular items. And then the other point also is the ability to have a flexible design and a flexible building, which we have zero flexibility now in the dome. But HKS is very good at making sure that the building survives and rolls with the market. And in 15, 20, 30 years or more, that we'll have the ability to adjust to the market. But maybe, Brian, you can address the suite issue as well as the ability to expand over time.
Yeah, the way you talked about it, Lester, is great. People, fans, want a lot of different types of products, and traditionally these stadiums have really only offered 3, general seating, club seating, and suites, most of which were all the same size. You know, what we've gotten the habit of doing is creating, 24 to 36 different types of seating environments. And what that does is really allow us to give specific needs to a lot of the fans that want smaller but very high-quality seating environments. And it also gives us the ability to design some environments that really are, in a lot of ways, non-traditional and allow us to include a lot of fans in the facility at even more reasonable ticket prices. So it helps us to really focus our abilities and helps us to include a lot more different environments in the facility overall.
Brian, I have a question I want to interject here. One of the great parts of my job is I get to interact with fans a lot, and they have a lot of ideas about the stadium. And one that comes to me a lot is elements of the stadium that are unique to Minnesota or to the Vikings. Have you incorporated any of that into the design, a Norseman or a Viking ship or anything of that nature?
Yeah, we think there's a place for a really important kind of physical icon relative to the team that, you know, that might be in the foreground of the stadium. You know, as you look towards downtown out of the stadium, we think that's something that could be very unique and kind of a branded environment thing that really makes the heightens the experience of being at the stadium. One of the things in terms of local culture, as you mentioned it, that we think is really important is the whole wintertime event thing, the Winter Garden. And really the way we've been approaching the stadium is that we're designing two really large rooms. One room that's outdoor in front of the stadium, which is the plaza, which is a multipurpose area also where we hope to host a number of different community-related events, not just pregame events and postgame events for NFL. And then the other room is, of course, the indoor room where the seating bowl surrounds the field. And the relationship between those two things is really what we've been focusing on here that we think is a totally unique opportunity around Minneapolis and the climate and really our position right up against downtown Minneapolis where there's already a lot of events going on.
Okay, we have a question that's coming from Thomas. What do you have, Thomas?
Hi, guys. Hey, I had a question. Have you determined any type of renewal protocol for when the stadium is complete? And by any chance, will we all be invited in to preview our seats prior to purchase?
Hey, Thomas, it's Steve. Be glad to answer that one. To be honest, we have not set that protocol yet. We're obviously working on a lot of different things, and that's going to be a very important part of this process. You know, we're looking at potentially a sales preview center very close to the physical new stadium site, so where you can come in and sample different product offerings. The key that Brian emphasized, and Lester as well, is that there's going to be so many different options for our current season ticket owners and new potential season ticket owners to consider. I mean, right now we basically have just two products, in Mall of America Field and the Metrodome. It's a general ticket and it's suites. And we've added a few things over the years, but really pretty modest as far as quantity. You know, we're going to have, you know, many, many different opportunities for people to consider. And we'll be real excited to kind of show them off to you at the right time. And again, during this multi-stage process over the next close to 4 years.
Okay, thanks everyone for all the great questions and feedback. Before we end the Fan Forum event, you will have the ability to leave a comment or a question after this call is over. So please don't hang up, because this will allow you to leave any additional feedback that you have along with a question that you were going to ask in case we didn't get to you. You'll be directed once the call is over, so please stay on the line. Also, want to make a note that we're going to have another one of these calls down the road once we get further along in the process, so we can always keep you guys up to date. We, as we mentioned at the top of the call, we have one of the best fan bases in the NFL, and we want to keep you involved in this process. Before we go, Brian, did you have any final words that you wanted to leave everyone with?
Yes, this has been a great time for us. As you can imagine, this is an exciting thing to be able to connect directly with the fans. And we hope that over the next several months, as we talk about the design more and show more about the design, that you feel like we do, that this is this has the potential to be a world-class facility. That's our goal. And that we understand, you know, we're going to really create the most valuable physical icon for the Vikings fans and the community here for 50 to 100 years. And so we're very focused on that, and we're extremely excited to be able to work with this this incredible organization. Thank you for the time today.
Do you have any ideas on how to beat the Rams?
That's not our experience area, is the best way to say that.
Give us 28. That's just my guess.
I think that's a good idea. Okay. Thanks, guys, and hope everyone out there has a good rest of the day. Talk to you guys later.